بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. I just got off a lot of airplanes. Wednesday evening I was in Syria. And about an hour ago, I was in San Diego. And now I'm here with all of you wonderful brothers and sisters. And when I was in the airport waiting for my bags, all 11 of them, the brothers who were with me, they got a phone call. They said, you have to go give a speech. And I'm saying, I thought the speech was tomorrow. So I said, okay, good. Then they said, the title of the speech is Islam in America. I said, I thought the speech was unity through diversity or something. So anyway, we'll do our best, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it beneficial for all of us. Alhamdulillah, you just listened to a wonderful presentation by Dr. Suleiman Yang, reminding you of the depth of your roots in this land, of our roots in this land. And this, as he repeatedly said, if they could practice Islam, or to paraphrase what he repeatedly said, if they could practice Islam under those conditions of slavery and captivity and very inhumane conditions, then what about us, brothers and sisters? If they could live Islam, if they could make valiant efforts to pass on Islam to their children, then what about us, my brothers and sisters? If you read, for example, the compilation of Dr. Sufyan Diouf, African Muslims, Servants of Allah, African Muslims Enslaved in the Americas, you can see documented in very moving terms the depth of the efforts of those slaves who were captured and brought here and sold into captivity to live Islam and to institutionalize Islam. They weren't satisfied to merely be here. Of course, they were slaves. I wouldn't think they would be satisfied. But merely being Muslim was not enough. Even under those circumstances, they were making every effort to institutionalize Islam. They were making every effort, and they succeeded in many instances to establish institutions to teach Arabic to their children and to their fellow slaves, to teach Quran to their children and their fellow slaves, how they were literally smuggling writing boards and other materials, Qur'an, Masahif. When a Mus'haf was published somewhere in Europe, it ended up in America in the hands of those slaves. And those people who were securing these materials, they were doing it under the most adverse of circumstances. So we have no excuse, brothers and sisters. We have to dig deeper inside of ourselves. And we have to make every effort under the very favorable circumstances Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in to institutionalize this religion. Everyone should look at himself, look at herself, and ask, what do you bring to the table? As Dr. Yang said, you cannot influence and impact on this society if you cannot engage this society at every level of intellectual discourse, at every level. So ask yourself, what do you bring to the table? A lot of brothers and sisters, they want to make hijra. And they go about it all wrong. They just get on the plane and go. And so they become another unemployed, semi-literate Muslim in a society of unemployed and semi-literate people. At least go to school, become a doctor, a nurse, a physician's assistant, an English teacher at least. Study and take an ESL course or two and then go so that you offer something. And if you stay here, look at yourself. Look at yourself and ask yourself, what do I bring to the table? When you sit down, you should offer something. When you open your mouth, you should say something meaningful. When you go to work, you should make a significant contribution to whatever you're doing. And this is how Islam is going to triumph. Islam always triumphs because the Muslims were better people than the people who were around them. And when the multitude of people saw that, they went with the winners. People go with the winners. Ibn Khaldun established that before the Western social sciences, that people go with the winners. A conquered people imitate the ways of the conqueror. So we have to be conquerors in this land, but not physical conquerors. That's not necessary. Look at all these Muslims in here. We don't need a physical conquest. Allah Ta'ala has already done that for us. Allah Ta'ala has put us here without a fight. Allah Ta'ala has established us here in multitudes. But we have to be intellectual conquistadors. We have to be moral conquistadors. We have to be people whose superiority is so manifest that wherever they are or whatever they're doing, the people around them will be attracted to them. And not just attracted to them in a physical sense. They look nice or they smell nice. You smell very nice, brothers and sisters. But that these people, they have something. They have something that I need. They have stability. They have moral strength. They have intellectual dynamism. And I need this because I don't find it anywhere else. This is our job, brothers and sisters. And when we start doing this job like every other people before us who have done this job, this is the job of spreading Islam. And every people who have done this job, they've encountered opposition. So don't be surprised when you see, if you read the paper, I just happened to glance on the plane that this, not Roberto Duran, he was a boxer, Khalid Duran, that people like this are put up to write books that defame and slander Islam. Don't be surprised when you see this. This is part of the reaction to the establishment of Islam. When you see that forces are uniting against the Muslims, that this group or that group have joined their forces in opposing Islam. I was in Syria. I didn't look at my email for a month. And the list is like that. So when I got back, I just glanced at it. And amongst the titles of things, the Hindus and Jews join forces against the Muslims. Maybe someone forwarded this to some of you also. But when you see these kind of things, don't be surprised. This is the reaction of people to the establishment of Islam. This is the reaction. Allah Ta'ala says, لَتُبْلَوُنْ. When you see Muslims losing their money in the stock market where they shouldn't have it, Allah Ta'ala says, you're going to be tested in your wealth. لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. And with yourself, through yourself. وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And you're going to hear much abuse from those people given the book before you. أَذًا كَثِيرًا. You're going to be insulted. You're going to be slandered. You're going to be defamed. Didn't this happen to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It didn't happen because he wasn't doing anything. If he wasn't doing anything, they wouldn't have said any of this. They wouldn't have called him a magician or a sorcerer or crazy, insane. Majnun, Sahir. They wouldn't have called him anything. They would have called him a nice guy. He would have gotten the Quraysh Medal of Honor. No, but he was doing something. He was doing the work of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala has brought you here to do His work. To do His work. To hold up the banner of truth. To hold up the banner of righteousness. To hold up the banner of morality. To hold it up and to hold on to it and to fight for it and to defend it. This is why we're here, brothers and sisters. We have a mission. We have a job to do. And we're going to be victorious, bi-idhnillah. Don't be so when you see all of this opposition. This is because you're doing something. This is because Zaytuna is doing something. This is because the Nawawi Foundation is doing something. This is because all of these groups and organizations in America are doing something. And the people who study these things, they are people studying you, brothers and sisters, studying us very carefully. They see that that we're moving towards a point of convergence. And convergence can be very dangerous. And they can begin to forecast what kind of energy will be generated when all of these disparate efforts start to converge. When the fingers start to become a fist, brothers and sisters, they know that something powerful is going to happen. So they start to engage in contingency planning. And this, take this seriously. Daniel Bell, one of America's greatest social scientists, and others, they predicted the demise of the Soviet Union in the 1950s. And amongst the theories that they used to predict, they said it was convergence theory. They said the bureaucratic nature of that state would lead it so that it converges with other bureaucratic states. And at that point, it would have a sociological impact on the leadership. So you wouldn't have people like Lenin running the show. You would have people like Gorbachev running the show, whose imperatives and dictates wouldn't be informed by ideology, but they would be informed by the bureaucratic dictates of a massive bureaucratic state. And then at that point, sooner or later, they realize, well, we might as well go all the way and just get rid of communism, because the ideology no longer has any practical implication for the running of the state. So when they start to look at what the Muslims are doing, they're looking just in the 50s, they were looking at what's going to happen in the 90s in Soviet Russia. And in the 90s, they're looking at what's going to happen in the year 2010 with the Muslims. And as the stakes get higher, the opposition is going to get more forceful. And brothers and sisters, you will have to stand up even stronger. You will have to hold on even stronger. You will have to work even harder. Because we have something great to offer to this world. We have something great to offer to this world. And the world is going to get it. And never get frustrated. Never get frustrated. Don't think, oh, it's hopeless. The harder I work, the more opposition there is. No. Keep working. And then come to these conferences periodically. Then you can see the strength. And you know you're not struggling in isolation. That you're part of a greater struggle. And when you come here and you feel the energy, you know that's true. You know that's true. So brothers and sisters, keep working hard and never give up and never be frustrated. Because Allah Ta'ala says that these people, and you can see it, it takes how many millions of dollars does it take to produce a film against Islam in Hollywood? It takes millions of dollars. How many millions of dollars does it take to run these think tanks that are plotting and planning against the Muslims? It takes millions of dollars. It takes a lot of money. How much money does it take to maintain an embargo against a whole country like Iraq? It takes millions of dollars. And Allah Ta'ala says that this is going to happen. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That those who reject faith, they're spending their money to turn people away from the path of Allah. فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا. And they will continue to spend it. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَصْرًا. Then it's going to be a source of grief for them. ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ. Then they will be defeated. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ يُحْشَرُونَ. And those who reject faith, they will all be gathered together in Jahannam. This is the outcome of the affair, brothers and sisters. This deen is going to triumph. Their plans will be frustrated. But it's going to take great effort and great work and great sacrifice on our behalf. It's going to take serious people. History's not changed by people who aren't serious. For better or for worse. For better or for worse. So if we want to change it for the better, we have to be serious. And Allah Ta'ala has promised us His help and He's promised us His aid. So this should be sufficient motivation for us to do what we have to do. And my 15 minutes are up and I didn't even need a note. Jazakum Allah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.